You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town in our listening region. Today, we're talking with Phoebe Peretta, mayor of the city of Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin with geography. Where is Brookings?
Brookings is on the southern tip of the Oregon coast. We are roughly 7 miles over the border of California.
So tell me about the land size, your population, and demographics.
Well, we have just under 7,000 local residents. I believe it's around 6,900. And we have a very large unincorporated area that is directly across the bridge, which is around 1,500 residents. So even though they are not part of the Brookings community in the most technical sense of the word, of course, they really do feel like a part of our community as our very near neighbor. And most people don't even realize or know that that isn't part of the Brookings proper. And we are not a very large city. We have the Pacific Ocean directly off of our west side, and we are highly mountainous. So it's a region that has a lot of difficulties with building and infrastructure just because of our natural landscape.
Gotcha. Now, I understand that Brookings got its name from John Brookings in 1913.
That's correct. The Brookings brothers founded the California Oregon Lumber Company, and Brookings was a company town. They didn't even allow anyone to purchase land within the area, and then when that lumber mill closed down, then it became, there were a lot of people who didn't want to leave the area and created a community separate from the company.
Well, aside from lumber, I understand lily bulb farming was introduced into the region about the 1920s. How's that going?
Well, it isn't something that's currently active anymore. You know, one thing that I have found fascinating about the Brookings community is that they're a highly resilient community. There have been many times throughout Brookings history, as already exampled by the lumber mill situation closing, where the community has had to pivot to new ways of creating commerce and an economy to be able to stay in the region. So lily bulbing is not something that's currently active in our community, although it was something that once was very active and thriving. Currently, we have a lot of charter fishing businesses. We have some commercial fishing industry, and tourism is actually now one of our biggest draws for our community and creates a lot of our local small business economy.
Yeah, I was surprised to learn that Brookings is one of the warmest coastal cities in Oregon and on average receives 191 days of sunshine.
Absolutely. I think that when you think about the most pleasant place to visit, as far as the weather goes, Brookings is top. We have a very mild climate year round. We're at what's called a microclimate. We are not situated directly due north and south like most coastal communities. We're shifted a little and face more south. And so we're a little bit due east and west. And then we have what is typically known as the Chetco effect. So we can have days in the winter time where we will have 80 degree temperatures. We can have a day in the summer where we're significantly warmer. And we have rainy days, but you can have some of the most beautifully extraordinary clear days even in the middle of winter.
Now, what kind of effect did you just mention?
Chetco. So Chetco is one of the rivers that we have that borders the very southern tip of town. And it's kind of the dividing line between the unincorporated community of Harbor and Brookings. And so that's, I guess, where the name got dubbed from, was from the river and that flows through here. And we were known as a banana belt. So we have very different weather patterns than a lot of the coastal communities, even not just the Brookings coast, but also the entire West Coast. And so we have a very extraordinarily pleasant climate in our region. Cool summers that don't get hot, but also very mild winters that don't get too cold. Sometimes you have to deal with rain, but we can also, again, have very clear days and, you know, a rain jacket and a pair of rain boots are all you need to be pleasant outside pretty much round the year here.
Well, it sounds like a lot of people get over to Brookings. What do they do when they get there?
Well, we have Harris Beach State Park in Brookings, which is one of, I actually believe it is the most visited state park in the entire state of Oregon. And there's a beautiful camping ground here. We actually just came out recently as one of the top 5 cities in the entire nation to RV camp. And so we have a lot of people who come and camp there. There's beautiful beaches to visit. We have the river, as I mentioned, with a lot of places to go and camp or just fish off the shore. We have charter businesses here that will take you out deep sea fishing or take you river fishing. We are very well known for our salmon fishing. We have some of the world's largest fish that have been caught here. We're very, very well known for our salmon fishing. Also, many other types of fishing here. You can tuna fish, halibut fish, rock fish. So that's another big draw for our area and our region. Lots of beautiful hiking. We're the very end of the Samuel Boardman scenic route. And we have just north of us and in our community directly some of the most stunning views that you will ever find. Natural Bridges is just north of town and is an extraordinarily beautiful place to visit. If you head just up the south bank of Chetco River, there's a redwood hike. So Brookings, Oregon is the one place in Oregon that you will find redwoods growing. We also have some highly fascinating World War II history that is little known about. Brookings was actually the only mainland place bombed during World War II. And there was a submarine that came just off the shore. They had developed a very specific type of aircraft that they could disassemble and place in the hull. And they would come and bring up the submarine out of water and assemble that on deck. And then they flew over and tried to light the forest on fire. They dropped incendiary bombs. And one of the most fascinating things about our history is that many years later, a group of men brought this Japanese pilot back to Brookings for our Azalea Day festival and made him the Grand Marshal, the guest of honor. And him and his family came and he donated his samurai sword, family heirloom, to the city of Brookings as an offering of peace and reconciliation. And that is still here. It's currently housed in our library, and there's a lot of articles. So that's another beautiful piece of history. There was recently a documentary done called by a guy that works for PBS, but did it on his station, Refresh Quest, that takes you actually to the trail, to the bomb site that was constructed many years later. And it's another beautiful hike that can be done in our area where you can go where this Japanese pilot actually planted a tree in memory of the reconciliation and an offering of restoration from that whole story. So there's a beautiful hike there. So there's lots of beautiful outdoor spaces to explore. I think that's our biggest highlight is our natural resources.
Well, natural resources for sure, a beautiful place and with an interesting history. My guest is Phoebe Peretta, mayor of Brookings, Oregon. I learned something from your website that Brookings is a monarch city. What does that mean?
So monarch is a butterfly. And so there was, I don't know a whole lot about the history of that. I know there are classes and talks that you can take. We have a small campus of the Southern Oregon Community College here. And so there's classes that you can take about that. And they were a great habitat for the monarch butterfly. And they were really trying to build this as a sanctuary area for the monarch butterflies.
Okay, well, let's get into something that the mayor should know something about, and that is housing needs. You just recently concluded a housing needs analysis. What were the findings?
Well, really very much in line with what we expected, that we are in great need of housing. It is a real challenge for our area, as I already mentioned, just the natural terrain of our area. There's some challenges surrounding the way our urban growth boundaries are set up. As I already mentioned, the south end of our town is unincorporated county, but has a very large community area that isn't part of Brookings. And most of our urban growth boundary is that south end of town or further down, to include the lily bulb areas, which, as you already mentioned, were highly active at one time, but now are not, but they're preserved agricultural areas. So we have some real challenges in figuring out where and how we can build. But we know we need all types of housing. We have a large community of school-aged children for even within the state of Oregon, which was one of the things that came out during the findings. So we have a real need for lower income and like most areas, lower income and workforce type housing, but we also still have needs for a higher income bracket housing as well. So we've got some really great suggestions from our partners that we worked with, Greentop out of Phoenix, Oregon, of some ways that we can hopefully change up some of our ordinances and coding to invite some new growth and figure out ways around these challenges.
Okay, in our last couple of minutes, you've got some other infrastructure projects happening in your town, from streets and sidewalks to water treatment plant, wastewater, the parks, and even you're getting some upgrades at the airport as well. Tell me very quickly about those.
Certainly. We have been able to apply for a lot of grants and federal and state resources, which have helped bring those projects underway. And the infrastructure projects you mentioned regarding wastewater and water really are to try to bring more housing to our community. There's a large area north of town that is owned by one company who has had it on the radar to develop housing there. And so a huge push of our infrastructure projects is to bring that needed infrastructure up to that north end of town so that we can help facilitate what is needed to bring those housing projects to fruition.
Okay, I understand that starting January, Brookings is going to have a different city government?
That is correct. We have three positions currently that are up for election, one being the mayor and the other two being counselors. And we had an appointed counselor for a vacant position who is running for that position. The other counselor will not be running for re-election. And I myself will not be running for re-election. So there will be several new members of the city government in place coming January.
Okay, in our last 30 seconds, how would you summarize your tenure?
Educational and very rewarding. It's been a lot of very needed projects that have begun and developed and are underway. And so I'm very excited for the future that Brookings has. And I'm grateful to be a part of what's happened during my years of service here.
Okay, very quickly, what's your vision for the future?
I really believe that Brookings is a place that has a bright future ahead. I see us continuing to develop beautiful things for visitors and needed and necessary infrastructure and housing and economy for our locals.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
My guest was Phoebe Peretta, Mayor of Brookings, Oregon.